This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking.
It's Wednesday. This is your BizNews briefing. I'm Bronwyn Nielsen. All eyes are on Washington today, despite the fact that the South African budget is being tabled for the third time in Parliament by South African Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana. Many opinions are being shared as Ramaphosa meets with Trump today. Let's start with U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, who's very clear on his view on how South Africa's foreign policy is against U.S. national interests. Rubio was speaking at a Senate hearing on foreign relations.
You and the president, as well as other administration officials, have repeatedly and rightly criticized South African policies on issues ranging from human rights to activities that directly undermine American national security. Those activities, in turn, include what appears to be an explicit and extensive pivot away from the United States and towards the Chinese Communist Party. There are also serious and credible allegations that the South African government's decision-making is compromised by widespread corruption tied directly to Iran. They are working together to target our Israeli allies on the international stage. President Ramaphosa himself has taken an aggressive position, leading a charge of genocide against Israel in the International Court of Justice. And he has pushed for precedents and policies that will not just undermine Israel, but expose American officials to vulnerabilities as well. I have every confidence that President Trump will demand South African officials change their policies and will hold them accountable if they don't. And it's critically important for the American people to understand the bases for our policies. Please talk a little bit about the extent of South Africa's malign activities and how they are undermining American national security interests.
Well, it's one of the, first of all, we chose not to participate in this year's G20 hosted by South Africa, either at the foreign minister level or the president's level. And it had a lot to do with some of these issues, in addition to some of the issues they brought on their agenda, which we don't think reflect the priorities of this administration. So the president of South Africa is here today because he says he endeavors to reset relations between our countries. And President Trump, if someone says that, is always going to be open to resetting relations. But it will have to touch on some of the issues just pointed to now. Obviously, the position they've adopted towards Israel is way not just off balance, but completely geared towards one side. And it makes one wonder about these allegations that are out there now of foreign influence, including with Iran. They clearly, on the global stage, and multiple multinational organizations have consistently been a vote against America's interests, time and again. Not one-off. You always understand when some country has to go in one direction opposite to you because, you know, that happens. That's what diplomacy is ultimately about. Diplomacy is also about when we're aligned, we work together. When we're unaligned, we have to talk. But when one country is consistently unaligned with the United States on issue after issue after issue after issue, now you have to make conclusions about it. So all I could say about the meeting today, I'm not there obviously because I'm here with all of you. In fact, it may be going on right now as we speak, or it was scheduled to go on as we speak, is this was an outreach on the part of the South African president. He said he wanted to come to Washington. He wanted to reset relations with the United States. I have no reports as to how that meeting has gone so far. If there's a willingness on their side to reset relations, obviously was something we'll explore, but we do so with eyes wide open to what they've done so far.
And how does their campaign against Israel undermine America?
Well, I think, first of all, because it echoes some of the charges that are being made by some of the biggest enemies of Israel that happen to be ours, whether it's Iran, whether it's these radical groups that chant death to America, death to Israel. So we're very concerned about that. I also think there's real concern in our mind about some of these international institutions that, frankly, South Africa has lined up strongly behind, who would seek to, if they could, jail, imprison, indict American office holders because of some of the positions we've taken on public policy, even though we're not members to the conventions that create these entities. So if you talk about these groups that they are, in essence, utilizing their forum on the national stage as a nation state under this president and this leadership to echo the claims and the positions taken by not just Iran, but in many cases, China as well.
Meanwhile, an upbeat Cyril was speaking to South African journalists ahead of the meeting with Trump. Let's take a listen.
South Africa's sovereignty, Mr. President. Lots are concerned that maybe you'll be conceding too much to the likes of Trump, Elon Musk, Starlink. Is that on the table, Mr. President?
Well, we are a sovereign country, and we are a very proud nation. And we preserve our sovereignty, and we will always do what is best for South Africans.
Mr. President, Tidi Matia, long time no see. Mr. President, this meeting also happens when there's a geopolitical shift. America itself is starting to shift as far as Israel is concerned. What are your thoughts about that? South Africa has been lambasted for its position. Now you're seeing a change even this side of the world. Your thoughts about that and how that will influence the conversation?
Well, we are going to have an opportunity to discuss geopolitical issues, not only Israel, but also Ukraine. And so all these matters will be on the table for proper discussion. And we are very rational when it comes to discussing global and geopolitical matters. And we will put South Africa's interest first, and our own foreign policy positions will be well clarified. So fear not. We are going to have
not fearing being humiliated, Mr. President, a Zelensky moment. Cyril Ramaphosa, the man, is he prepared?
Well, South Africans are never humiliated, are they? South Africans always go into everything holding their heads high. So we are not...
You, Mr. President.
Me?
Yes, are you
Cyril
prepared?
Cyril Ramaphosa,
the individual, the negotiator.
This is a do-or-die moment.
Are you talking about golf?
We're going to have a very good meeting.
Yours or Donald Trump's? I mean, this could come down to your personal relationship. Donald Trump is known to be a transactional president. He doesn't like to be beaten on the golf course either. Are you ready to navigate those waters?
I also don't like to be beaten on the golf course. So I play golf like he does. So maybe one day we'll have a good round of golf.
Okay. Agriculture Minister John Steenhuisen spoke to Newsroom Africa's Ziyanda Ngcobo. Steenhuisen gives some insight into engagements the South African delegation has had with U.S. counterparts ahead of President Cyril Ramaphosa's meeting with U.S. President Donald Trump. Let's dip into that conversation.
We met yesterday and had a very cordial and very constructive meeting with Ambassador Greer, the U.S. Trade Representative, and we had a very open and frank exchange about how we can ensure mutually beneficial trade between South Africa and the United States of America, reiterating the importance of both markets for each other. Obviously, a lot of emphasis from America's side on wanting to rebalance some of the trade, and obviously from our side wanting to retain market access but not with a 30% tariff. And so that was the discussion yesterday. We'll obviously be briefing the president today on the outcome of that meeting, what they put on the table, and some solutions on the way forward. But certainly I think it was a constructive meeting, and our key goal here is to keep the doors open with the United States of America to ensure that we have good ongoing bilateral arrangements, and where we do have issues on phytosanitary and animal health, that we have open channels to be able to deal with them as quickly and expeditiously as possible so that we keep the mutual trade going.
Minister, at any stage during that particular meeting, did the issue of land expropriation or the Expropriation Act come up, and what's happening to South African farmers, which has been the predominant narrative of the U.S., the White House at least, but at an official-to-official level, did that come up?
No, it didn't come up at all. It was a focus yesterday was on trade and how we can keep trade going. I've no doubt the matter will come up in the course of the period, and we must be honest, we have a rural safety problem, and it affects rural communities incredibly harshly because of poor police resources in rural areas, and of course the difficulties associated with policing in large areas. And that's why I think what we should be doing is looking for partnerships with other countries about how we can improve, using technology and other means, rural safety. Farmers and farm workers do feel unsafe and insecure in many parts of rural areas, but it's no different to challenges faced in rural areas around other parts of the world. And what we need to do is to make sure that we focus policing resources there, and that we have a far better synergy between local security initiatives by farmers and farming organizations and formal SAPS interventions in those rural areas?
I mean, undoubtedly, the land question in South Africa is quite complex. It's got racial undertones. There's also issues of legislation and Section 25, and there's also issues of farm workers vis-a-vis farm owners. And you've recently made remarks at the NAMPO Agriculture Festival. Some have really pushed back at you. Now, you're also the leader of the DA, the second biggest partner in the government of national unity. And I know you don't like to talk about race, but how important is it going to be you for a white man in the agriculture portfolio communicating to the Trump administration that believes that white Afrikaners are being persecuted and white farmers are being persecuted? Do you think, in a way, you are going to be able to bolster Team South Africa's messaging?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I regard myself as the Minister of Agriculture, not the white Minister of Agriculture. And I think we should start seeing people as judging them on their character, not on the as envoys of their race. However, I mean, I think we do recognize that in South Africa, we've got to address imbalances in land ownership. And the way we do that has to be responsible and ensure that it doesn't affect food security and doesn't affect the property rights. That's why Section 25 of the Constitution is intact. You would know as well that the matter of expropriation without compensation is currently before the courts of South Africa, as any judicial review of any process of government anywhere in the world would take place. And we obviously look forward to the court clarifying that. As you know, I'm very firmly of the view that compensation has to be fair and equitable, as Section 25 of the Constitution says. And I reiterate, Section 25 of the Constitution remains intact. I don't regard nil compensation as a fair and balanced way of being able to do compensation. But I think that, you know, we will get clarity from the court, and we will then be able to ensure that we have an Expropriation Act that speaks to the Constitution. But I come back to the point, we have to address imbalances in land ownership, but we must do it in a responsible way and in a way that ensures that we don't harm the economic future of the country and that we don't jeopardize food security in the country.
In the world of business banking, the bottom line can often triumph over relationships. At Investec, we value both. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking. Out of the ordinary.
At SunExchange, we make going solar simple, profitable, and completely risk-free. Join over 100 satisfied South African customers already enjoying the benefits of risk-free solar. Start saving today. Visit sunexchange.com and join the solar revolution.
National Security News' Linda van Tilburg spoke to André Pienaar, a South African venture capitalist now based in Washington. Pienaar co-founded the Scorpions, a specialized crime-fighting unit established under Nelson Mandela. Pienaar says that Ramaphosa's negotiations with Trump are unlikely to advance trade discussions unless Cyril takes decisive action to safeguard minority groups in South Africa.
It's hard to predict what will happen in the meeting, but I think the meeting takes place against this background. And unless these very serious issues get addressed, it will be very hard to get to trade talks and trade discussions as if all is well. There was a Afrikaner delegation that visited Washington in the early part of this year after President Trump was inaugurated. When this delegation returned to South Africa, Julius Malema, the man who's espousing genocide against Afrikaners, instituted high treason charges against the members of this delegation. And Ramaphosa's government took up this investigation, and they are investigating these four members of civil society who went to Washington to engage with the policy community in Washington for high treason at the moment. In December of last year, there was an attempted terrorist attack on the Samson Religious Community Center in Cape Town, which is one of the oldest Jewish places of worship in the country. It was clearly a terrorist attack. It was on the same day as simultaneous terrorist attacks in Australia and Canada. Those governments immediately called out those incidents as terrorist attacks. To this day, Ramaphosa's government has refused to recognize this as a terrorist attack. And when the chief rabbi of South Africa, Warren Goldstein, said that he was going to investigate what happened in Cape Town out of concern for the safety and security of his community, he was threatened by Ramaphosa's government. We sent very senior state security officials to go and see him. And the minister who's currently accompanying Ramaphosa to Washington, D.C., wrote him a letter threatening him to cease any further investigation into what happened in order to protect his own community. So these are not the actions of a democracy. These are the actions of a government that is complicit in what's happening and who has things to hide.
Capitalist activist Rob Herzog was on the same Washington-bound plane as some of the South African delegation heading to the Oval Office today. He spoke to Alec Hogg, the founder of BizNews, and gave him some insight into what insiders are saying about South Africa's potential reception with Trump.
I think that they're ready to do a Zelensky times 10 on Cyril. Whether he does that or not, I don't know. But I know Marco Rubio is the attack dog, and he is going to come and swing. That I do know. I've heard it from the highest places that Marco Rubio is going to do the job on the ANC, on the GNU, and it isn't going to be pretty. Whether that happens publicly in front of the journalists or whether it happens behind the scenes and then gets reported, I don't know. So the actual Donald Trump, Cyril Ramaphosa on television get together after the meetings will be really be dependent on what happens beforehand. But Marco Rubio is going to be very, very tough on these people. And he should be.
Well, unpack that for us.
My morning coffee.
Awesome. 4 a.m., yeah.
So South Africa, Donald Trump popped tariffs on everyone in the world and said, look, I'm serious. You're going to get hit with extraordinary tariffs, but I'm giving you 90 days to come and see me, come and see my team, and work on a deal. Well, I mean, it's taken South Africa, more than half that time to get its act together. We've had a failed ambassador. Our ambassador was kicked back to touch. Consul General, our military attaché, have been kicked back to South Africa. America has effectively dumped South Africa out of the G20 by not turning up and saying they're not going to actually appear in any force. And the G20 is being held in South Africa. And South Africa is a part of the G20 really just for, just to have an African country involved. South Africa does not deserve to be part of the G20. And Cyril's arrival at Washington was met with a tiny reception. And it's a message to Cyril that Donald Trump is not impressed. He knows what's going on. He's not going to be appeased. He's not going to be lied to. And I think the message is going to be made very, very clear to Cyril, John, Lamola, and the team that he's brought over. Deservedly so, because South Africa for the last 10, 15 years has been poking America in the eye. It's one of the top countries to vote against America on almost every issue in the United Nations. South Africa has aligned with Russia, China, Iran, Hamas. The whole of DERCO has been taken over by Islamists, ANC Islamists. And what does South Africa expect? That all of a sudden, Cyril, the deal maker, which is complete nonsense, spineless Cyril, is going to come over and have that chat with Donald and tell him how it really is. And, transformation. The ANC's had 30 years in power to transform the country. And all they've done is break and steal for themselves. And all of a sudden, now that they have a GNU, they're trying to accelerate transformation. What have they done in the last 30 years? And Donald Trump and his administration know it only too well. They know the pharma tax situation. They know what's going on with DEI, BEE, expropriation without compensation, and the international position of the ANC. And Cyril is not going to be able to hide behind the GNU and say this is a democratically elected coalition of center, sensible, unaligned people.
In international company news, Bloomberg's Ian King explains why companies have been unable to challenge NVIDIA's position as the leading AI chipmaker. He speaks with Ed Ludlow on Bloomberg Technology.
Can it last?
At the moment, there are no challengers who can take away that massive amount of market share. The challenge that NVIDIA faces and the challenge that it's spending arguably as much time as on anything else addressing is, can we keep this massive spending on AI moving forward? You talk to other companies and they're like, oh, well, we can get a bit of market share here and there, but nobody, and even a company like Qualcomm, newly coming to the market, wants to work with NVIDIA. There's nobody thinking that we can knock NVIDIA off their perch right now.
There's a story on the Bloomberg Terminal that reflects some concern on Capitol Hill, particularly from Democrats, about all of the infrastructure deals that were announced in the Gulf last week. NVIDIA was kind of the headline among them, right? Sending GPUs, the latest generation GPU, to both Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. You were involved in some of that reporting. What is the concern?
Yeah, I mean, it's really important to note that there's a through line here that sort of spans the aisle. There are China hawks or China people concerned about national security on both sides of the Republicans and the Democrats. What they are concerned about is that the Middle East will act as a gateway for U.S. technology to leak, to diffuse, and for China to get access to as in kind of a backdoor way. The key question, though, is whether they can get together and whether there are any mechanisms that would allow them to basically stop what is happening, what this Trump administration initiative is trying to push forward.
That's all from BizNews Briefing today. We'll be back tomorrow with more context on both the global and local front. As always, thanks for joining us.
This BizNews Briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move to private banking service now for your business.